If you've got your Bibles, turn in Psalm 61. And the Psalms at times can be of great comfort to us. But there's times when you can be so down, even going to the Psalms, you think, listen, this guy's already talking about what I'm feeling. I don't even want to go to the Psalms. I'm feeling so bad. But one of the things about the Psalms, the word Psalm speaks of hymn. And it's the Psalms are hymns, and they go through the different emotions of life that we go through. When you're converted and you've come to the Lord, you don't become a robot, but God takes you through valleys and dips, and sometimes you see peaks, and sometimes you can't see anything. You can't see your hand in front of you. And this past summer, when my little boy Isaiah, who's 10, was with me in Ireland, at nighttime, just about 8, 9 o'clock, as the sun was going down, all of a sudden you could see the mist beginning to rise over the fields. Now, if you weren't used to it, you didn't know what was coming. Is this the end times or what? But at night, we would watch the mist coming over, the dew coming over the fields. And during the night, we'd sit in the darkness, look out the window, and just see this blanket covering all the land. And there's times when there's a blanket, it seems, that comes over your life, and it's just, you can't see anything. So David finds himself in a place like this as we look at Psalm 61. And we want to look at this psalm today. And we want to find some encouragement for our hearts, for our own hearts, or perhaps for someone that will come along a path whose own lives, it's just covered by a mist. One of my children this week, in my wife's vehicle, I got in and there was a verse that they had written there. And it was Psalm 61, and it was verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint," or that word is when my heart is overwhelmed. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And so I was trying to think, okay, which child wrote this? And I wonder if they wrote it because they're overwhelmed. And so I began to go through my mind which of them it could be, and then began to pray. And so we're going to see that David is in a place where his heart is overwhelmed, and we want to look this morning at hope for the overwhelmed. Where do you go when your heart is overwhelmed? This word overwhelmed means to be covered with darkness. There's not even a Motel 6 in the distance who's going to leave the light on for you. It's covered in darkness. And David has been in tremendous turmoil, and some of the commentators say that this may have been the time when his son, Absalom, had died. Absalom had tried to murder David. Absalom had tried to take over the kingdom, and all of a sudden Absalom is dead and his heart was overwhelmed. And the scripture teaches in various places that sometimes our hearts are overwhelmed because of unconfessed sin. Sometimes the heart is overwhelmed because of the circumstances of life. And this is a wonderful time for a follower of Jesus Christ to live in this day and age. You can count your blessing. Why? Because with the economy going down the tubes, people's hearts are overwhelmed. And we have hope for the overwhelmed. And in order to have hope for the overwhelmed, sometimes you have got to walk through the valley of the overwhelmed. You've got to taste it in order to talk people through it. Because otherwise it's just theory. And while you go on your way, people are still left overwhelmed. So here we have all these years ago, God knowing that in this day, on this time, we would gather together and we're going to talk about being what? Overwhelmed. And so David writes down what the situation is. And so my childhood wrote that verse down, whether they're going through those times of being overwhelmed. As I looked at the verse, I saw hope for the overwhelmed and saw the answer for the overwhelmed. So let's begin at prayer and then we'll look at Psalm 61. Verse 1, 2, 3. Father, we thank you that you do hear our cry. We thank you, Lord, no matter where we are from the ends of the earth, Lord, you hear our cry. And we bless you for that. And we thank you, Father, that there are those like David who are overwhelmed. And Lord, you have hope for the overwhelmed. God, let us not be so hardened. Let us not be so inconsiderate in our own struggles that we fail to see those who are overwhelmed and often the hope that you give in your word. So Lord, we bless you for this and we ask for help as we look at your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 61, verse 1, David, in this time of great intensity of suffering, says, "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you." Notice he says, when, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed, I have a plan. Now, for years and years, some people pay into plans, and they hope at the end of retirement, it was going to be there for them. And then the economy does a flip, and now all of a sudden, what they've struggled and put away for years, it's no longer there. But here is a prepaid plan for every one of us who are overwhelmed, which will work when you go into the bank of heaven. You can withdraw the hope for the overwhelmed and apply it to your own life or that or others. And every time you will come out and you will be encouraged because you know what to do. It's like when I was overseas one time, I remember in this one particular country, they drove on the wrong side of the road. And so you get to a roundabout and you're thinking, okay, this is pretty easy. We either go right, maybe get hit, or we go left, get hit. And you become double-minded. And so there's times when we become overwhelmed. It's like, okay, let the bus hit me or let the train hit me. What do I do? But God's got a plan for you. This past week I was speaking with a man and he was talking about a very famous soccer player who had committed suicide. And as I was sharing with this man, you know, we look back and the thing that led him to the suicide, he was overwhelmed out of fear that somebody was going to take his adopted daughter from him because he was suffering with depression. And he couldn't share his depression with anyone because apart from the doctor, his wife, no one knew. Here he is, famous, financially secure, but he's overwhelmed and so he steps in front of a train. And so I speak to this man, you know, as we talk, I said, you know what? All that led was that little drip of fear that got into that man's life and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know who to turn to. But God has given us hope for the overwhelmed. God has given us opportunities to help the overwhelmed. Because all around us, people are struggling. And you may say, go no further than my seat and I'll sit beside you and say, that's two of us. So let's have a look this morning. This, hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I call to you when my heart is faint or overwhelmed. Lead me. And this word lead me here, it's a verb. It means lead me victoriously. We're getting out of here. Not somehow, not maybe, not I hope so, but you lead me out victoriously. And how does he lead us out? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here are my circumstances, David would say. Here is my heart is overwhelmed, but here is the hope for those who are overwhelmed. You lead me. You get me to the place I cannot get myself. You lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So when you feel like you're drowning, when you feel like the darkness has come over your heart, the hope is the rock who is higher than you, and this rock is immovable. He is stable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what will he have you do in these times you're overwhelmed? Look what David does. Hear my cry, O God. And that word cry there, it's a shout. He is crying out. He is beseeching God. It is not a whisper, but he is crying out to God. His heart is overwhelmed. In Psalm 12:1, he says, help, Lord. I remember lying on a sofa for 10 days. That's all I could pray. Help, Lord. I didn't know what rest of the verse said, but I knew those first two words, and that was enough for me. Help, Lord. So he says, in the day you're overwhelmed, he says, hear my cry. I'm crying out to you. Who? God. Often in seasons when we're overwhelmed or people are overwhelmed, what's the first thing that usually happens? We turn from the one who can help us. We turn from God, and we start looking for other things, anything. I can look at the TV, nothing wrong with the TV. I just want to get my mind off whatever it is. I'm overwhelmed. If I can just be distracted. But the problem is, when I substitute God, the distraction doesn't last long enough. And I'm still overwhelmed. So he said, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to cry to you, God. I'm going to turn to you because I'm overwhelmed. And then the next thing he's going to do, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you my troubles. You say, this is so simplistic. Well, God knows he made us. He knew we were simplistic, right? You can have an education and still be an idiot. You can still be a fool. You can still be foolish. Doesn't guarantee nothing. You know facts, and hopefully if you're going to operate, you know a little bit better, more than my wife who watches ER, who thinks she knows. But here's what to do. He says, I'm going to talk to you. And what does he say? Give here to my prayer. I'm crying to you, God. And now I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, David had been separated from the place of worship. He'd been separated from that which was familiar. He had been put away. He's on the run. And all of a sudden he said, "Leave me over here from the ends of the earth. I'm crying out to you. Lead me. Get me higher than this. Get me to yourself. Because you're the rock." So let's look at this and see how we can encourage our hearts. He says, "Lord, hear me," in verse 1. Verse 2, he says, "Lord, help me." And then Lord, verse 2 again, "Lord, hide me." Hide me. Hide me. Where? Hide me. In the presence, in the shelter of your wings. We've seen from the scriptures that there's different ways we become overwhelmed. God completely overwhelmed Pharaoh and the enemies of the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 11, it says this, "The signs God performed and the things he did in the hearts of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to his horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea." Psalm 38:5, unrepented sin can be a cause of being overwhelmed. It says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Psalm 18:5, "The cords of death entangle me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me." Spurgeon put it this way, he said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, when the huge waves of trouble wash over me, and I am completely submerged not only as to my head, but also my heart. It is hard to pray when the very heart is drowning, yet gracious men plead best at such times. Tribulation brings us to God and brings God to us. Faith's greatest triumphs are achieved in her heaviest trials. It is all over with me. Affliction is all over me. It encompasses me as a cloud. It swallows me up like a sea. It shuts me in with thick darkness. Yet God is near, near enough to hear my voice, and I will call him." One man in 1861 wrote this, "When my heart is overwhelmed, troubles are various kinds. Some are provoking, some are gnawing, some are perplexing, and some are overwhelming. But whatever form they assume, they are troubles and are part of the wear and tear of life. Overwhelming troubles are such as sweep over a man, just as the mighty billows of the ocean sweep over and submerge the sands. These are troubles which struggle with us, as it were, for life and death. Troubles which would leave us helpless wrecks. Troubles which enter into conflict with us in our prime, which grapple with us in our health and strength and threaten to conquer us by sheer force. No matter how bravely we may contend such trouble, the psalmist knew, and you know it too." So let's have a look and see, what did he do? Well, he turned to God, he talked to God, and then what did he do? Well, look what he says, look what he does in verse 1. He said, "Hear my cry, O God." He's talking to us. Through the pages of Scripture, he talks to us. Look what he does. He talks to us about who God is and his troubles. He turns his attention to the character of God. And this is one of the hardest things when we're overwhelmed. We tend to turn every place but God. But look what he does here. He says, "Hear my cry, O God." And that word God there, Elohim, creator God, majestic, powerful God. In the beginning, God, the creator, unassisted, created everything by the word of his power. And as you go through the first couple of chapters in Genesis, again and again you say, "Creator God, all powerful, all majestic, in need of nothing or no one, who spoke the stars into existence, who presently upholds them, I cry out to you, creative, majestic, powerful one." So he turns to God. Sometimes our God is so small, he is so impotent, he cannot help us. Sometimes we feel like Psalm 13, we feel God has forsaken us. Four times he said, "Lord, I'm crying out to you. Why?" He asked four times, why? And he comes to the conclusion, he said, "Obviously, if you've left me in the trial this long, obviously you have forsaken me or you have forgotten me." And there are times when we go through those troubles or overwhelmed, we think God has obviously, because it's lasted so long, he has forsaken us, or he has forgotten us, when at times in these troubles, he wants us to turn to him and think. Use our minds. People say, "Well, God has given you a brain." That's right. And the purpose of the brain is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But think with your mind. Think on him. Use his perspective. Use his principles. Use his promises to your circumstances. But when you are overwhelmed, immediately turn and talk to God and talk to the rest of us about the God whom you trust when you are overwhelmed. Creator God. But he goes from Creator God, and then he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now he compares him to a rock. He says, you're a rock, you're immovable. And if you go throughout Scripture, you'll see that there are other people who knew God and called God as the rock. Moses, Hannah, David, again, in different places. And we see in the Scripture that the rock provides strength. Psalm 62:7. My God, my salvation, my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Do you need strength? Just to get through the overwhelming of the darkness, where your heart speaks to your body, says, I just can't go on. I can't even do another dish. I can't even get out of the bed. I can't even make another decision. Well, go to the rock. He imparts strength. Strength to think aright. Strength to do the next thing. He imparts a place of rest. Psalm 71, be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. There's some people who have second houses, and they have them by the sea or in the mountains. Vacation homes, and they go there for a rest, to get away. So the psalmist said, let God be your rest, the place where you get away to, resting in the rock, in his security, resting in the place where your enemies cannot get your soul. The body they may kill, but they can't touch your soul. Jesus said in Luke, don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can cast your body and soul into hell. The worst that man can do, I mean, me personally, I just want to fall, die in my sleep. You know what I'm saying? Not looking for any heroics here. But the worst they can do is ultimately kill us. But God has the power to hurl that soul into hell. Fear him, the Bible says. So put your rest in the rock. He's either going to be a source of rest for you, a source of imparting strength to you, or that rock ultimately will crush you. That's why he says, do not harden your hearts. For today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. But what happens? In the times when we're overwhelmed, people turn everywhere rather than to God. Maybe for a Sunday or two, and when it doesn't work out, let's try something else. In Isaiah, he speaks of this. He says, do not anxiously look about you. For I am he who upholds you by my righteous hand. And he's speaking to the people of God who turned their back on God. And so what would happen in those days, they would want the rain to come in their crops, so they would pray to certain idols or put them in the corners of the fields. And when the rain didn't come, guess what they did? They started looking around. Okay, idol one doesn't work. Idol two, not American idol, but another idol. Right? And so what happens when we're overwhelmed? We're looking around, but it's all idolatry if it's not turning to God. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. We're immature in our faith. Even the mature in their faith, guess what? They're tested. But to trust and to turn to God is the hardest thing you've got to do in times of trouble. It's easy to look around. It is easy to substitute God for something else. But to turn to God, to talk to God, to trust God when you're overwhelmed and take him for who he is. He is Creator God. He can speak and dispense the whole darkness. He can change the situation without blinking an eye. But to speak to him when nothing changes, in the midst of it all, and train your mind to think on God. He is God. He is the rock. And then look what he goes on. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Verse 3, for you have been. Oh, now look what he does. He goes into his past. How many of you got a past? The rest of you are dead. Okay. All right. He goes into his past, but look what he doesn't do. He doesn't go into his past looking for sin, and the enemy, the devil, the evil one who hates your soul, will take you to your past failures. He'll take you to your past sin, and he'll hold them continually over you. He'll mock you. And every time you seem to get a little bit ahead, up he'll come again and say, look. But what he is incapable of doing is showing you the provision of the rock of your salvation, the blood of Jesus that has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. But the psalmist, he goes into his past. And what does he recall from his past? He recalls not his failures. He recalls not the frailty of men around him. He recalls the faithfulness of God. Look what he says. For you have been a refuge to me. I look in my past and I'm pulling what from my past? Not the failures, not the fears, but I'm pulling like a rope. I'm grasping, saying, oh, come to me. Come to me what? Oh, most holy of thoughts that will tell me how God has been faithful to me in the past. What is thanksgiving but a thanksgiving to who God is and recalling from the past the faithfulness of God? Kill the turkey, eat the turkey. Now what? That's it. But a recalling of who He is and what He's been to you. And when the heart is overwhelmed, you've got to go somewhere. You're thinking of them, but your minds are constantly fluctuating. You've got to go somewhere. Anchor them in what? The faithfulness of God. In the past, this is what I have experienced. You have been a refuge to me. In the Old Testament, we see that the word refuge was used of six cities that were set up. So if somebody accidentally killed someone in Israel, and if you could get to one of these six cities, you were untouchable. You could not be touched. You were safe. You were guaranteed security. You were in a stronghold now. Your enemies can stand around you. They can wave their finger. They can talk about you. Can't touch you. So God had provided a place, a refuge for those who had accidentally killed someone. But God doesn't have a place today. God has a person. He said, "You have been my refuge." We want to go back to places and times. Listen, we go back to God. You have been a refuge. Even today, think about the ways God has met you. Think about how He has hid you. Think about how you've been secure. Think about how you have found rest in this creative one. Think about how He's been a rock to you. He has been stable for you. He has been sure for you. He's been steadfast and immovable. His word is immovable. It never changes. People go through the change of life, not God. What He was is who He is, who He will be. So you can come to Him with all the fears when you're overwhelmed and you cry out, "Oh God, from the depths of my being, I am crying out. I am overwhelmed by my job situation or lack of job. I'm overwhelmed by my spouse. I'm overwhelmed by my family. I'm overwhelmed by the economy. Oh my God, I'm crying out. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I so I can see clearly." And what are you going to see? You're going to see God. From the ends of the earth, I cry out to God. And so the troubles are but opportunities, but to turn us to who? God. In the book of Luke, you've got the story told where there's a recording of these men, and they're in a tower, and the tower falls down, and they're all killed. So the people of the day, being self-proclaimed theologians, think, now, I wonder who sinned here. How's this thing go by? It must have been pretty bad to have that building fall on them. And Jesus said, "Repent or you perish." So when you hear of tragedies and tsunamis and all this, listen, I don't know the ins and outs of all that, but I know from Luke, for those who are alive, it's opportunities, it's God's grace again calling to the living. You repent or you will likewise perish. So in times of calamity, it's opportunities to turn the minds of people to God. Creator God, powerful God, can He change your situation? Think about it. If He could, why do you and I fret so much? I was driving down the road the other day, I was having a conversation with someone, myself, just the two of us. And as I was driving down the road, I was thinking about God. I mean, you know, if God is really who He says He is, how come I trust Him as little as I do? He must be pretty impotent. That's what I said to myself. He hasn't answered back yet, but when He does, I'll let you know. But it was a good conversation, just the two of us. If God is who He says He is, how come we don't trust Him? If God is the Creator God who can change your circumstance without even blinking an eye, without even breaking a sweat, how come we don't trust Him? Because we don't think on God, we don't trust in God, we don't talk to God, and we don't take Him at His word. It's nice for Sundays, it's nice when things are going well, but when things are going bad, listen, man, you really don't understand. You don't understand? David's overwhelmed. He's in the darkest of darkest places, and He gives us a pattern. God gives us a pattern. Here's my pattern. Turn to Me when you're overwhelmed. Talk to Me, even if you can't get the words out. I know your sighs. Think on Me. I'm your God. I'm God. Who is like on Me, He said in Isaiah. Who shall you compare Me to? I'm God. I'm your rock. I'm higher than your circumstances. See, what we want, we say, okay, God, I'll think on You. I'll talk to You. I'm going to tell You my troubles now, but we need to move to the quick, you know, the exit bit, how You get me out of my circumstances. But in the circumstances, the last week or two, I keep finding myself praying that prayer for those in trials in James 1. He said, in the midst of trials, if any of you lack what? An exit strategy? No. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. And then He commands those in the midst of trials, I command you. You know the Ten Commandments? Let me tell you this. This is a commandment too. If in the midst of your trials you don't ask for wisdom, guess what? You sin against God. If any of you lack of wisdom, he says, I command you, ask of me and I will give liberally. I will give generally. You know what you need most in the midst of a trial? You need wisdom. Wisdom to see it from God's perspective and handle it in God's way. And in the midst of these trials, when you're overwhelmed. This morning I woke up and I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with anxiety. Overwhelmed thinking about different people. Overwhelmed thinking about this one businessman who for 20 years has laid his life in this business. It's gone. It's gone. And I'm overwhelmed thinking, okay, what can I do to help this man? I'm overwhelmed when I think about some of my children. I'm overwhelmed. And the only thing I could do is talk to myself the word of truth to bring me out and to get my mind thinking on the God of truth. Do you think there's any difference from today than David's day? Do you think you're going to be any different tomorrow when you feel overwhelmed and you try to lean to your own understanding again and you fail again and you're nasty to live with again? What's it? Your God is too small. He's got a little g. He's the one of the ones in the corner of the field. He's your genie. God, make it rain. It rains. Oh, I'm going to keep coming back to this one. He doesn't work. Let's get a new one. Let's substitute the original, only true God, the living God, for something or someone else. I was passing through a state yesterday. I'm out here to speak. I won't say it. But I had all these orange flags. I remember one time being in that state speaking about the big orange God. That particular group have never invited me back again. You see, sometimes it becomes an idol. A good thing becomes an idol. A good thing replaces God. Nothing wrong with the orange group. Very careful here. Keep the car running. Nothing wrong with the orange group, but when it replaces God, it's an idol. And so here's what happens. When you're overwhelmed, if I can just sit and watch 4 more hours of football, I'm fine. Yeah, but what happens when the substitute now is up? Now what you gonna do with your problems? I'll substitute it for something else. Oh no. When you're overwhelmed, he said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to me. I'm God. I'm your rock. I'm your refuge. I want you to talk to me. I want you to think about me. I want you to trust me. That's what I want you to do. And so when trials come, the choices we make, this is the reality of it. It's not the profession I make. The reality of it is, I got the t-shirt if you need it. I got the failures if you need it. The reality is, the one we trust is the one we'll head toward. The decisions we make will prove whether I'm really turning to God, talking to God, trusting God, thinking on God, or am I leaning to my own understanding. And every time you lean against an imaginary lamppost, you know what happens? You fall down. You say, I wonder why. Lean again. I keep falling. What is wrong? Must be the earth moving. No, you're leaning on something that's not made to hold you up. The thing that's working against you is gravity. And sometimes God uses circumstances as like the gravity of the situation to get us to turn to Him. If you had everything you want, you would not be satisfied. Because eventually you become dissatisfied because God has made you for Himself. If you got it all, what does it prosper you? You leave it all. You take care of your kids. You take care of your grandkids. You take care of the community. You leave it all and you lose your soul. What does it prosper you? Nothing. We are a bunch of insane individuals who have believed that we can substitute God for something else. And when circumstances overwhelm us, when life situations overwhelm us, that somehow we can find satisfaction and security in a rock that's nothing more than an imaginary lamppost. We are crazy. Absolutely crazy. And you know the reality is, when the trial comes, watch where we lean. Some of us lean to our education. Some of us lean to our charm. Some of us lean to the refrigerator. Some of us lean to the movies. Some of us lean to the Visa card. We all lean in somewhere. Just listen, just get me out of this seesaw of being overwhelmed. Just give me some cessation, just a moment, just whatever it is. And God is saying, listen, in the midst of it, I've got a way out for you. I've got a plan for you. It's prepaid. It is myself. From the ends of the earth, you don't have to get to Jerusalem. I don't even have to go to the big orange country. Any country, I can cry to Him. God, Creator God, my rock. He never changes. I'm constantly changing. He never changes. He's my refuge. my shelter. And today he would say, come talk to me. Come tell me about you being overwhelmed. Already know, already knew before I created the foundation of the world and put my love upon you. Already knew about it. Already knew the circumstances I was going to use to corner you into a situation where you could no longer avoid me. You could no longer ignore me. But you would have to deal with me face to face. And you'll find it's my kindness that leads you to repentance. I'm not harsh. He says, come to me, all you weary. You weary and heavy laden. He said, I'm going to give you rest. I'm not taking you out to the back shed. I'm not going to give you a beating. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, come under my authority for a change. You know the yoke of the religious system. You know the yoke of self. You know the yoke of Satan. He said, take my yoke and you will what? You will find rest for your soul. So he uses circumstances to do what? Just wanted to use those circumstances. Just want you to turn you to me. Want you to talk to me. Tell me all about your troubles. Want you to start thinking correctly about me. Want you to trust me. Because you know what? There are other people out here. They're overwhelmed. And I've given you the story of David. And now I want you to be the story. You understand what it is to be overwhelmed? Now I want you to take the story, your life, that I've given to you. And when you're overwhelmed, I want you to keep doing this. Because when he says lead me, it's a verb. It means keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Get me to that rock that's higher than I. Not an exit from my circumstances necessarily, but in my circumstances, that my attention is turned to you. Like that young lady last night. I mean, this driving stuff kills me, man. And then all of a sudden, Jean called, said, well, come, okay. And then I got there and they said that big old rock thing had fallen down. I said, well, maybe I'll go home a few hours and see my son play soccer. But then Jean gave me directions like, oh, man. Didn't want to say anything. Okay, I better come now. I'll repent of my bitterness later. But anyway, so I get lost again. And then I've seen parts of the country, two states I've never seen before. Beautiful. If you want a nice bus tour, I can recommend a place to go, but I'm not going with you. And then I'm going through that orange place. And they're driving with flags. These are older people, man. They got sense. They got brains. They got education. And they got these flags out their window, these orange flags. I'm like, what's going on, man? Must be a lack of color in this place or something. And then I hit 24 truckers right in front of me, stopped in the middle of the highway. I'm starting to count because I'm there an hour. I think I wonder what they're doing. And then we're going down these roads, these more winding roads, like an hour and a half. And then when I look at my gas, I'm nearly out of gas. And so I stop and think, can I make it? Can I not? Can I make it? Can I not? Ooh, I better because I'm an hour and a half away. So I put my debit card in. If it doesn't work, it's one of two things. Either there's no cash in that debit card. Hopefully, it's not working. So I go in kind of sheepishly. I say, excuse me, is that machine out there working or the gas pump or is it? She said, sometimes it doesn't work. Oh, wonderful. That's good. We got something to cover this gas. Okay, you know, because after going through all that stuff and I get stuck in the middle of nowhere, it's not good. Not me by myself. I'm just telling you. So anyway, when she starts talking, she says, oh, your accent. And I said, okay, it's Irish. And she's talking away. And then I just wanted to get it done. Just going to pay, get the gas, go on. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And then she starts talking to me and I start talking to her about the Lord Jesus and how God brought me to this country and he died, he was buried, was raised again to save me, to bring me to himself, into a relationship with himself. She said, I used to go to, and I cut her off before she said church. I said, you don't have to go there. He doesn't want you going there. He wants you to come to himself. Amen. And then when she tears up, she said, you're the second person that's come into there to talk to me about Jesus. I stopped and I said, you know what? Because you are the center of his attention. And sometimes God uses troubles to let you know in his world, he is the center of attention, but his attention is on you, and he wants you to come and find rest. Listen, I could have went back through those nine hours, whatever, again. I was so excited, because God, in all the midst of that, man, truckers, man, rocks falling off hills, getting lost, man, guys sending me down wrong roads, all to get to that one place to be the second one in. And as I left, I said, Jesus, save her, and may there be a third one going in. But you know what? God was after. Can I just say this respectfully? God is after some of you today. And he is using the times to speak to you. And you are looking all around. You're trying to figure it out. And guess what? You keep looking. You keep anxiously looking around. Because when that neck gets all of a sudden it gets tired, guess who's going to be facing you? God. And he loves you. And his blood was shed for you. And he knows you're overwhelmed with the times. As a matter of fact, some guys think they're in the control of the cash. No, no, no. He guides the cash. He cuts it off. He supplies it. He raises up governments. He takes down governments. He makes the wealthy wealthy. Deuteronomy 8, he says, he gives the capacity of wealth. He also makes the poor. But let him who boasts in this, that he knows and understands me. That's the boast. Our times are in his hands. And guess the good news? He has put you right where he wants you, right now. All these circumstances that you miss, stop. Just stop. Stop your running. Stop your excuse making. Stop the flailing about. Stop and look. And listen. I'm the creator. No sweat, I've spoken into existence. I'm the rock. I don't move. Economies change. My economy doesn't. It's still the blood of my son. I'm the refuge. You want rest? It's not getting an extra 20 minutes sleep in the morning. It's me. And he says, come to me. So when my heart is overwhelmed, I got to talk to myself like David. I got to turn to God. Tell him my troubles. Tell him my cares. I got to think on him. Who is he? He's God. Because my thoughts have got to go somewhere. And I got to take him at his word. And does it mean the circumstances change? Not necessarily, because if it did, I'd be doing it a whole lot faster, believe me. But that's how sinful I am, because now I'd be using God for me. But what happens in the circumstances, you begin to know who God is. Your breath is in your nostrils, and God holds your breath today. Every heartbeat, should I go on, God, or should I stop? Go on. Should I go on, God, or stop? Stop. People talk about people dying and they're in an accident. No, an accident. Hebrews 9 said it's appointed for you once to die. It was an appointment. So in the circumstances we find ourselves in, economically, worldwide, meltdown everywhere, God is speaking. And his attention is on you because he loves you. He's trying to get your attention. Because if you got everything you think you need, guess what? You still wouldn't be happy because we don't have him. And that's why we are so crazy, so absolutely stupid. Can't educate our hearts into the reality of God. God has to break in, shake us up, get our attention and say, it's me. It's all about me. So for my child, who I found out who it was who had written down that verse, and they talked through some stuff, now all of a sudden when I come to that verse, I think of that child's name. I say, Lord, wherever they go, from the ends of the earth, wherever they are, may they turn and cry to you. May they tell you all about their overwhelming feelings. And may they think on you and trust you. And may there be a testimony to another generation. I too have been overwhelmed, but let me tell you what I do. What do you do? This is good news. For believers, this is wonderful times for us to live in, because all around us, people are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed and they don't have Christ. And they should be looking at us and saying, listen, if your God is so good, what the heck is wrong with you? You're trying to pass on something that doesn't work for you? And that's when we have to stop and think, listen, what exactly do I believe about this God? What exactly do I trust this God for? Who exactly is he? And you've got to stop and think. If he is who he says he is, then I need to know him. But the good news, right where you are at this moment, is like, come here, big boy. Come on over here, man. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that handsome face only a mother could love. Watch this. Watch this. Look. It's like this. Look. See? He's turning everywhere, and it's like this. Got you where I want you. Has your mom ever done this to you or your dad?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Because they wanted what? Your
attention.
Attention, good boy. And so God uses circumstances and he does this. We're going this way, life up and down. We're in control. Oh no. He's squeezing us in. He's like, gotcha. Remember me? I'm going to talk to you about myself. I'm going to talk about your sin. You've been living your life on your terms, doing your thing. Now guess what? No longer. This is the point. I sent my son. I slew him on a cross. Put him in a grave, but I rose him up again because I accepted his sacrifice on your behalf. Now I want to talk about your life. The life you think you have, that you own, no, it's mine. Every breath I give is mine. Now I want to talk to you. I'm your creator. Sent my son. He's the redeemer. Now I want you to come turn to me. I'm going to give you rest because I'm God. And besides me, there's no other. And that's how he gets our attention. Has God ever got your attention? Is God seeking your attention today? Has he so channeled you where you have nowhere else to go? You got to stop. Oh, not just the lost man, but for us believers. He's got us where we want. Some of us are our own foolishness, our own sin. Let's not blame, get on some man. I'm mercenary for God. No, man, you've been foolish. I've been foolish. But he's got us where he wants us to do what? Now I want to talk to you. Tell me your story. I want you to start thinking correctly about me. I want you to start trusting me. Guess what I'm going to do with you, son? Guess what I'm going to do with you, daughter? People are all around overwhelmed. You're going to be my testimony of what to do when my heart is overwhelmed. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we bless you that, Lord, there are times our hearts are overwhelmed. Your word teaches because of the guilt of our sin. Because we, before you, we are guilty. Education doesn't do it. Deprivation doesn't do it. Poverty doesn't do it. Nothing does it but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For those in your presence, God, I thank you that for some today, this is the day when they'll stop squealing and squirming and they'll stop substituting you. And today you say, come to me. All of you. You're weary. You're heavy laden. I want to give you rest. That they would come under your authority, take your yoke, Lord Jesus, and be born from above. And Father, you would give them peace. For those of us, Lord, who in the midst of our times of being overwhelmed, Lord, we're like little kids. We keep losing attention. We know the right things. We're just not sure about you, if we're honest, God. We're really not sure about you, and that's not your fault, that's ours. We ask you to forgive us and cleanse us, and Lord, we are asking you, from the depths of our positions, we cry to you, O God, Creator God, you who are the rock, you who are the refuge. Lord, we turn to you, and we beg you, Lord, let us not turn to idols. Let us not turn to substitutes, but God, our Father, may we turn continually to you. And when we are overwhelmed, may we cry to you. May we see it's another opportunity to commune with God. When my heart is overwhelmed, I can commune with God. And Lord, we acknowledge our own incapability and ask you to lead us to the rock that is safer than ourselves, our circumstances. Lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Father, we thank you that you had David record these words and you've preserved them for generations. So for people like us who at times feel overwhelmed, everything is black, Lord, we cannot even get out of bed some days. You have hope for the overwhelmed. It's to cry out to you. It's to talk to you. It's to think correctly about you and trust in you. God, you make us witnesses to this generation. Let us not lose sight that you are God and you are in control. For this we bless you for, in Jesus' name, amen.